The news just keeps on flowing in, and it's all because of Democrats. They're really the biggest newsmakers, aren't they? It's like wartime or something, and the Democrats are the Germans. I like to think of wartime in the context of Germans. They're the best enemy we ever had. And now the Democrats are a lot like the Germans. They hate the Jews. They thought we've got this valedictorian at USC, University of Southern California. She wants Israel wiped out just like the Nazis. And then she accuses the Jews of being guilty of genocide for killing a couple of dozen terrorists. All right, maybe a few more than that. What with the war and everything that they started against a far superior enemy. They should read Sun Tzu. Not very bright, these people. But I've got a, boy, the news just keeps happening. Let me tell you, during the break, one of the things we learned is that I was talked about it a couple of different days. Yuri Berliner, 25-year veteran reporter and editor at National Panhandler Radio, who was quietly suspended by the radical left-wing extremists there at NPR for writing an article that was published in Free Press, which is where you'll find free press and not corrupt, filthy left-wing radicals like at the taxpayer-funded NPR, but instead real journalism at Free Press. He wrote a piece about how biased NPR is to the left, and he told us, was it? He checked everybody's political affiliation, and the Washington newsroom had nearly 80 registered Democrats and zero registered Republicans, and he revealed all of this in his article in the Free Press, which is Barry Weiss, formerly of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, who had to start her own operation in order to get the truth out. And Yuri Berliner dared to tell the truth about NPR being a left-wing loony bin.
At one point, I got so frustrated with what I saw was the sort of the lack of different perspectives in our coverage that I decided to look at voter registration among our staff. And what I found was 87 registered Democrats on our editorial staff, zero Republicans. I presented this at a all-hands or a large news meeting, and I said, hey, look, something's gone wrong here.
Well, NPR doesn't see it that way. They think that's something going right. Well, they suspended Yuri Berliner on Friday for 5 days without pay for telling the truth, because the truth at NPR must be punished. We just learned during the break that Yuri Berliner has resigned during his unpaid suspension. He has resigned from NPR. We had, who is it, Steve Inskeep. He might be one of the fakes who does Some Things Considered. Is he on that show, Some Things Considered? I think it's called Some Things Considered. And Steve Inskeep came out to oppose Yuri Berliner. Yuri Berliner has now resigned because, you know, he was just sucking up to the bosses there who are left-wingers. They're all left-wingers. Everybody's a left-winger. They're all just drinking the same Kool-Aid. I think they should go to Jonestown and do it all over again. But amazing stuff. And I had the story in front of me today. Suspended NPR editor Yuri Berliner says woke CEO is the opposite of what the embattled network needs. And she is a radical. But now Yuri Berliner has resigned, essentially as a form of protest. And the reason he got in trouble is because he told the truth. And he told the truth about them. And they can't stand that. And I've got to say, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, who I'm not giving up on, as some are, he ought to make a move, and other Republicans in Congress need to make a move, to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Screw Big Bird. And it's time to stop giving $500 million a year to the Democrat Party's private propaganda network, which is in every big city and every small town in the United States of America. Why the taxpayers should fund the Democrat Party's propaganda network, I just don't know. Now, NPR suspends editor who criticized employer for what he calls an unquestioned liberal worldview. Honestly, suspended NPR whistleblower, and that's honestly what he is, blasts CEO Catherine Mayer, says she lacks perspective on what America is all about. Imagine that. Can you imagine such a thing? And now Yuri Berliner on X, with his resignation, making it formal, and he sent it to the this radical left-wing CEO, Catherine Mayer, who checks every box virtually. She's white. She's white, so she got that. Is she an LGBTQ? If she's not, she's willing to learn. I know that much about her. But the resignation letter to the CEO, I am resigning from NPR, a great American institution where I have worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. I do. I'm very much in fact, I think that every Republican should gather on the steps in front of the Capitol and say, this is it. Today's the day. No more money for the Democrat Party's national propaganda network funded by the taxpayer. Look, they'll still have NBC and MSNBC and CNN and CBS News and ABC News and George Stephanopoulos and all the Democrats that follow in their footsteps. But he says, I do not support calls to defund NPR. I respect the integrity of my colleagues. That's very generous. I don't. And wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism. That's all over. But I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR I cite in my free press essay. That is a concise, pretty good for NPR. They tend to go on and on, right? But good for him, good for Yuri Berliner. I applaud you, Yuri Berliner. He sent it to the CEO, Catherine Mayer. And who is Catherine Mayer? Catherine Mayer is a hardcore left-wing Democrat hack. And someone, you know, normal people, went and looked into her history. Just look at her history on Twitter, for example. And Catherine Mayer, she's the one who needs to be fired. And honestly, I think maybe Yuri Berliner should be the CEO of NPR. Then maybe they could save funding. But I don't think that we should be funding one news network. Why not fund my show? Why not federal government funding, taxpayer funding for my show? They get $500 million. Michael, could you and I use $500 million? I think we could. Jasmine, $500 million. We could use the show, could use $500 million. Why is the taxpayer not funding my radio show? Why is it funding left-wing propaganda that is force-fed off of university campuses and on and on? But this is an extraordinary story. Now, Catherine Mayer, who is a blonde woman, I haven't really looked her up. I'm sure she went to Harvard or something, because they all went to Harvard and they all think exactly the same thing. They share a brain that they've cut up on a curb with a plastic knife and distributed amongst themselves. But Catherine Mayer, the CEO, is a left winger. And how do I know that? Well, the somebody, not the Washington Post and New York Times, of course, went back and looked at her history on Twitter. In 2016, during the presidential election that Hillary Clinton lost and Donald Trump won, that was a wonderful day, October 9th, shortly before the election of 2016, Catherine Mayer tweeted. She's got kind of a glam shot of herself on her Twitter feed. She wrote, I do wish Hillary... And we just say Hillary, it's Hillary Clinton. They just say Hillary, and then they shave their tongues to make the tongue bath more comfortable for the ones they love, like Hillary Clinton. I do wish Hillary wouldn't use the language of, quote, boy and girl, end quote. She wishes that Hillary Clinton wouldn't use the language of boy and girl. It's erasing language for non-binary people. That's actually what she said, non-binary people. She didn't want Hillary using terms like boy and girl because that leaves out non-binary. So what terms should she use? NPR, taxpayer, teat, left-wing, radical, dimwit, you pseudo-intellectual numbskull. Boy and girl. And then the Democrats, they have to go on and on because in San Francisco, there are more than 100 genders. So how many of those should Hillary cite, Catherine Mayer? In October of 2016, again, about a week after that, don't use boy and girl because you're erasing non-binary people. She wrote, listen to this. She flew, business class, first class on an airliner at our expense. And she wrote on Twitter, airline business class demographics, meaning flying business class, they don't really have first class anymore because companies won't pay for that. So they call first class business class now, and then companies pay for it again because everything's a lie and everyone's a liar. Airline business class demographics are such a pet peeve of mine. Now, listen to how mentally ill this is. She's the CEO of NPR. And she tweeted October 14th, 2016, that airline business class demographics are such a pet peeve of mine. That's what she said. In the lounge, before you even get on the airplane, you go to the business class lounge, right? When you're traveling in the airport, they have free food and stuff. In the lounge and on the plane, usually plus 80% male, usually white. I can't say the two words that I'm thinking right now because they're prohibited by the FCC and possibly by the FAA since we're talking about air travel. So wait a minute. Too many white men in business class. Well, maybe you should work hard and you become the CEO of a big company funded by the taxpayer and you can fly business class, which you're already doing because you're talking about what it's like in the lounge and in business class. That's her. In May of 2020, she tweeted, I mean, comma, sure, comma, looting is counterproductive in the middle of Democrat Party riots across the country because a career criminal drug addict with fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system died of cardiac failure. That's St. George Floyd. She loves George Floyd. She says, I mean, sure, looting is counterproductive. That's not really the term that most store owners, business owners would use, counterproductive. She says looting is counterproductive, but it's hard to be mad about protests, meaning looting, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression founded on treating people's ancestors as private property. Wait a minute. Slavery? What are you talking about? Here she is talking about slavery because black people are looting from coast to coast because a career criminal died of cardiac failure while resisting arrest. And she's all in favor of looting, which she says, sure, it's counterproductive, but it's hard to be mad. So she's not mad about looting and rioting and burning and arson and injuring thousands of cops and inflicting billions in property damage, quite literally, murdering dozens of people during the riots. But it's hard to be mad about protests, meaning riots, not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression. You're a CEO of a taxpayer teat organization founded on treating people's ancestors centuries ago, they're angry, as private property. Yes, sir. And she also posted in November 1st of 2020, just before the election of 2020, a picture of herself wearing a Biden hat and a mask saying, the best part of Arizona get out the vote is my Biden grandpa hat. She's getting out the vote in Arizona for Biden, and she's the CEO of a fake news organization. She should be canned and then fired. Hey, looking for the ultimate in comfort and pain relief? Well, let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort, support, and pain relief. You know, typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersaShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return. I told you when hiking 5 miles with my shoes, and my Gedify shoes and the VersaCheck, my arches felt better at the end of 5 miles than they felt at the beginning. If you suffer from foot pain or knee pain or back pain, Gedify's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief that you deserve. Gedify shoes also come with 2 different supportive orthotics inserts, you know, to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just always on the move, Gedify shoes offer the versatility and comfort that your feet crave. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at Gedify.com. And because you hang with me, go to GDEFY.com, use the promo code Chris30, Chris30, for $30 American off your orders of $150 or more. Yes, sir. Yeah, we got just amazing stuff here. NPR whistleblower had to resign today. Great resignation letter. Got that, and boy, a lot more. Oh, and the mailbag coming up. The mailbag coming up. We're at 888-630-9625.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right. Yeah, this woman needs to go, the CEO from NPR. She'll just be hired by Time Magazine and paid $2 million a year instead of $1 million a year. Democrat Party takes care of its own propagandists. Just ask George Stephanopoulos. Let's go to the phones. Oh, boy, I'm pretty late. But let's go to Joe calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Joseph, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, I can.
Great. Thank you. In response to the important thing that you're talking about now regarding Yuri Berliner, and one of his comments really kind of caught me. I have to say it's strange, at least given that he's been there for 25 years, but he said something's gone wrong. And I can't help but think of, do you remember, it's been a while now, but it's been within the last 25 years, that there was a group called the Journalist of about 400 highly influential journalists around the country that colluded with each other. They were all, of course, leftists. One, of course, was the CEO of NPR at the time. I don't know the name of that person. I do know that I don't think the person identified as a male anyway.
I do. That's a lot of them don't. It's kind of strange. I'm going to look that up again. Ah, the left. They make everything better, don't they? Michael, have they glued themselves to anything this morning? Because, you know, a couple days ago, they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, which are on two different oceans. Almost. And what else did they shut down? Wall Street, Manhattan, and the Chicago's O'Hare Airport, Seattle's SeaTac Airport, the entryway by vehicles into O'Hare Airport and to SeaTac, and all in favor of terrorism, of radical Islamic jihadi, genocidal anti-Semitic terrorism, because, you know, that's where the Democrat Party is today. The Socialist Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler lives. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics lives on, that's the USSR, lives on. The Cold War is not over. The Democrats are still fighting it, and they're fighting it against us, against normal people. At the Chris Plant store, we have T-shirts and coffee mugs that say, Remember Normal, and a small, tasteful Chris Plant Show logo, but it's small and tasteful. It is modest and tasteful. Lots of other great stuff at the Chris Plant store. Fun stuff, funny stuff, Al Sharpton stuff, Resist We Much, Joe Biden is naked again, Cobra, Cobra, Cobra. Got all that good stuff. Now, there's a lot to talk about NPR and this woman at NPR with her radical views. She needs to go. Yuri Berliner maybe should become the CEO. But in the meantime, Republicans should defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Should have done it decades ago. And it's past time to do that now. Just defund it for the love of how many different free media outlets you have. And honestly, I work for Cumulus Media in Westwood One. I think Cumulus Media in Westwood One should get that $500 million taxpayer dollars for the next 10 years to help offset what we've been paying for at NPR all these years and PBS on the TV. And Republicans should move to do that on Capitol Hill. Let's take that $500 million. They love that word, offset. So let's take that $500 million a year and let's move it over here for the next 20 years to offset what the Democrats have been sucking out of the lifeblood of the American people that they've been sucking out for all these years. Honestly, $500 million a year would be helpful for us, wouldn't it? And we wouldn't have to pay for our own parking, maybe. You know, at NPR, they have chefs and sushi bars. We have a vending machine with chips because we don't have $500 million in taxpayer funding. One show, 3 hours long. My show is 3 hours long. Our show is 3 hours long. One show they have is 3 hours long. They have their own chef for the show because it's taxpayer money. It's not. They don't make their own living. They're crooks. All right, and wait till I get to this University of Southern California valedictorian who is a radical genocidal lunatic. And she's following in the footsteps of O.J. Simpson, I think. You know, USC grad. And she's supposed to be the valedictorian, but now she can't because of fear of normal people. Got to defund USC also. No more funding for colleges. They got to pay their own way. Let's go to the mailbag because today is Wednesday and it's mailbag day. And once again, we're doing the show and stuff happens during the show. And it's like, I wanted to get to this in hour one and then things happen. Then I wanted to get to it in hour two. And, you know, come on, are you kidding me? Look at all this stuff we have. Now here we are in hour three. Let me get to the mailbag. It's my last hour until I go to Newsmax, you know, and then that's on at 10 p.m. tonight. So let's go to the mailbag. Mike from Virginia asks, "Hiya, Chris. Love the show. If you have a CD player in your car..." I do have a CD player in my car. "What is in it today? Ever heard the album Wired by Jeff Beck?" Now, that is pretty crazy that he says that, and I'll tell you, I'm going to have to look it up here because I don't have it in front of me. But and I didn't even read that last part until now. Now, let me say, I do. It's my old car, my Lincoln Town Car, had a six CD changer in the dashboard, and that was great. And I had lots of CDs in it. Now, my small sporty car, my race car, it has a CD player in the glove compartment, but it's only one CD, only one CD. And I can actually tell you what the album is. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire Gratitude. That is the album that is in there. Earth, Wind, and Fire Gratitude. I used to have a lot of other stuff, one of the six CD changer, but that's in there. I got to say, I haven't hit my CD. I'm going to do it on the way home today, I think. But I haven't hit my CD player in a long time, but I know what's in there, and it's Earth, Wind, and Fire Gratitude, and it's wonderful. And ever heard the album Wired by Jeff Beck? That is kind of an unbelievable question because I have an alarm in my... an iPad, and it's set to go off when it's time for me to rush into the studio and do my teas, right? And what do I have as my alarm music for that? Freeway Jam by Jeff Beck, and that's what I hear every day. And I can't believe you asked, ever heard the album Wired by Jeff Beck? Because Freeway jam is my everyday alarm telling me it's time to go into the studio. That is pretty wild, pretty random. And it is, and I just hit my alarm because crazy. Yes, and it's in my iTunes. Wired by Jeff Beck is in my iTunes. Pretty wild. Great fun question. Patriot Mom USA 1. Patriot Mom USA 1. And not to be confused with Patriot Mom USA 2, who might be her sister, I'm not sure. If you had to eat the same lunch or dinner for a year, what would it be? That's kind of a tough question. But there's a little bit of a funny thing, because when I leave the radio station every day, I go home. I typically go home. And often my best girl is there. And I don't want to say almost every day, but it's true. Almost every day. I have a PB&J. I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with creamy Jif. And then I have this very kind of fruity, it's not Welch's grape jelly. It's this fruity stuff. I wish I could remember the brand name. But it's got, you know, lumps of, of actual fruity stuff. And I have wheaty, grainy bread and Ruffles chips. They're that Cape Cod Ruffles chips. And I have that more days than not. I have that for lunch. And that's good. Some days my best girl makes me fancy stuff too. But that's usually what I have. Sometimes I make it myself. Sometimes my best girl makes me a PB&J. It's kind of fun. But if I had to eat the same thing, and I do that, I got to tell you, like a New York steak or a ribeye steak and some potatoes every night is great. I also been eating a lot of fish these days, been eating a lot of fish. We had halibut and potatoes and spinach the other night. That was real good. But if I had to choose one, a New York steak or a ribeye steak, and I love mashed potatoes, but a baked potato would do well as well. And it gets complicated because I like a lot of food. I could eat Italian food every night. But that's a big, broad range of stuff. If I had to choose one ethnic food to eat for the rest of my life, it would be Italian food. Isn't that true of everybody? I think that's true of everybody. Sergeant Trumpy says, with lawsuits, cheating at the ballot box, and all forms of Democrat chicanery, nice use of the word chicanery, etc., to battle against, what do you think is the likelihood of Trump winning in November? That is an excellent question. It is a great question. And it is a kind of an impossible question, isn't it? Because, let's face it, the most corrupt institution in the United States of America is the news media. The news media is the watchdog for all of this. And the umpire, and the umpire has been bought off. The umpire is corrupt. And that's a problem. The Democrats are corrupt. We know that. More corrupt, I hope, than they've ever been. And our system has been corrupted in myriad ways. You're absolutely right about that. And all their chicanery and, changing election laws like in Pennsylvania on a county level when they're actually required by the Constitution to go through the state house, just to name one thing. Ballot harvesting, mail-out ballots, drop boxes, middle of the night, surgical gloves, all kinds of issues related to this. What are the likelihood? I think the likelihood is very great that President Trump will win, although I am very concerned about his personal security between now and then and even beyond then. I'm very concerned about that. Yesterday when he was in New York out in front of the bodega, I was thinking about and talking about his security, watching that. Very concerned. I think the likelihood is very great at this point that he will win the election, but I am very concerned about our corrupt news media, corrupt Democrat Party, and really a corrupt culture at this point. Very concerned. Cheating, ballot box. You're right, Sergeant Trumpy, to be concerned about all of that. We should all be concerned about all of that. And we should all be at polling places, to legitimate sign up and be a poll worker and do the right thing. And also fight to reestablish the legitimacy of American elections. I love to tell liberals who all love France and hate the United States these days, what if we did our elections the way France does elections? They don't know, of course, because they don't know anything. There's a great deal they don't know. They have election day, one election day. You show up with an ID, a photo ID government issued. You show it to it. You sign for your ballot. You cast your ballot. It goes into a box where they're, at the end of the day, taken away and counted, and they have their results within hours, usually a few hours of the polls closing all over the country. Let's do that. They do that in South Africa, too. Nelson Mandela fought for photo ID, but never mind that. William Bradford, great question, though, Sergeant Trump. And, you know, we're going to have to keep our eyes peeled, as painful as that sounds, until Election Day and beyond. William Bradford asks, Dear Chris, do you think that Mike the Lib, who called in just a couple of days ago, happily, and I think I told Mike the Lib, a lot of our listeners were happy to hear that he was alive and well because people were concerned and had texted and tweeted and Facebooked and say, hey, what happened to Mike the Lib? Was he struck by lightning and killed by God? No, he's fine. But William Bradford asked, Dear Chris, do you think that Mike the Lib is sophisticated enough to realize that every time he calls into your show, he actually increases the value of your program? And then there are three laughing out loud faces here, three laughing out loud faces. I do think he is, actually. You know, Mike the Lib was a career intelligence officer, now retired. And it's not that he's necessarily unintelligent. He's just wrong about everything because he's a lib. He's Mike the Lib, and he's wrong about everything. And does he know? Yeah, I think he knows that people like, if he looks online and on Facebook and Twitter and things, he sees that people respond to Mike the Lib all over the place, and that's good. And then Matthew asks, after Trump wins in November, how insane will the far left act? Blocking roads or full-on armed rebellion? Well, I honestly think hopefully not full-on armed rebellion. That wouldn't last long because they're not, you know, they're criminals are armed, carjackers and stuff, but they're not good at that, and we are, so that would be stupid. But I hope they glue themselves to things, and maybe they'll have a great big Kool-Aid party in honor of Jim Jones. That would be very helpful, I think. That'd be great. But it's hard. I think that when Trump wins, they will go crazy. They will be insane. They will be violent. I do believe that there will be great violence across the land when Trump wins. But that it won't last that long because they'll look incredibly stupid and also they can't throw a punch and they can't shoot straight. So they should just sit down and shut up and accept the results of the election. We won, you lost. And that is our, but I do think that they will be violent because they're violent all the time. And they're pro-jihad and pro-Hamas and anti-American flag burners. And they love Hezbollah and Iran. And they're not on our side. Speaking of which, I've got a pro-jihad USC valedictorian coming up because she now can't valedict. She can't. That's being a verb as valedictorian. Her valedictorian speech, a Muslim woman at USC, home of O.J. Simpson. You know, that's where O.J. played football. And this woman is no longer going to give her valedictorian speech, and now she's the victim. She was on CNN last night. Wait till you hear what she had to say. Ba-da-da. Oh, yeah, and on Mike the, back to Mike the Lib for just a second from the mailbag from William Bradford. William, when Mike the Lib calls in and he talks to our call screener, Jasmine Today, the wonderful Jasmine Today, he says, hi, it's Mike the Lib. All right? So when he calls in, he says, it's Mike the Lib. He knows he's Mike the Lib. And he used to call in a lot more, but he's lost his spirit. He can't. You know, make the case anymore, but he knows that. Oh, and also we had a tweet from Buford P, kind of like Buford P Justice, but it's Buford. That's Buford T Justice, I think. Buford P said, "Hey, Jeff Beck. You know, Jeff Beck is the song is not on Wired. It's on Blow by Blow, and that's true. It is that we play Well, that, you know, sends me into the studio in the morning. Absolutely true. Thank you, Buford P. That's true. But how often does somebody ask you about Jeff Beck? So I wanted to say that. Now let's go to USC. Citing safety, USC. As again, they had OJ running around campus raping women for years. USC makes rare cancellation of speech by valedictorian who supported Palestinians. Now, there's this woman who's a radical anti-Israel, need to wipe out Israel. A student there, Asna Tabassum. Asna, A-S-N-A, Asna Tabassum. And Asna Tabassum is a Muslim woman, and she wants to wipe out Israel. And she's the valedictorian because she wants to wipe out Israel. And that's very trendy. And from the river to the sea. She was on CNN last night, and CNN's Abby Phillips said, hey, what's with this wipe out Israel stuff?
One of the items in this post calls for the complete abolishment of Israel. Is that a position that you endorse?
If you're asking me if I stand for human rights, if you're asking me if I stand for equality and unequivocal and unconditional right to life for all people,
right to life,
including Palestinians, then I'm not apologetic.
That's not what I'm asking. But Abby Phillip is a coward, so she didn't say, well, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking if, because you posted online, you want to abolish the state of Israel. It's from the river to the sea, kill all the Jews, wipe them out, push them into the Mediterranean. And then she, like a snake, says, well, if you're asking me something completely separate, am I for human rights? No, well, then are you for the slaughter and the butchery of women and the rape and the kidnapping and the murder of people on October 7th? But that didn't happen. Abby Phillip and Asna Tabassum.
The reason I'm asking is because that's what the link said. It called for the complete abolishment of Israel. Abolishment of Israel was in the actual language. Is that something that you endorse?
So the abolishment of the state of Israel, I'd like to clarify, is the abolishment of an apartheid system.
So yes. So it's the abolishment. So that's a yes. She's a snake, but it's yes. And one more quick question from Abby.
So is that a yes then?
Yes.
I think a yes or a no would be an injustice to the issue.
She's a genocidal racist, a genocidal anti-Semite, and the valedictorian at USC. Was O.J. Simpson the valedictorian or just their greatest running back? That's College Today.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot.
But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.